It's the Shipping Container talking to you on a Tuesday, a Greg Cody Tuesday, and it's just us today. No Dan, no Stugatz, no Mike. Get them the hell out of here. Let's talk some let's have some fun, boys. You guys want to have some fun? Who looks like they're ready to have some? Billy, you look like you're ready to have some. I know why you're
ready to have some fun. It's a goose day.
Oh, a good Tuesday?
No, a Greg Cody Tuesday.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Either way. Dude, all right. Let me paint it. I have a nomination for the weirdest thing to happen.
Were you going to paint a picture a minute ago?
No, I'm not painting anymore. Now I just have something I'm going to throw out there. This is kind of like a Naked Chris topic, but we're not doing Naked Chris because I have my clothes on.
Oh.
What is the craziest, most surprising thing to happen in 2020? Now, this has been a crazy year. You could just say the pandemic. I was going to say a virus
that kept everybody from working. A lot of people lost their jobs and got sick and died.
And that is extremely surprising. And yet I have something more surprising than that. Are you ready for it? Here it is. Tonight, a baseball series starts in which the Marlins and the Red Sox are playing each other. And in this series, the Marlins are currently in a playoff spot and have very meaningful games ahead of them. And the Red Sox are terrible. Tell me, like, if I hold up the pandemic and that scenario, I feel like they're on the same plane, at least.
No, not at all.
Dude, this is so surprising that the Marlins, the Red Sox are coming down here, and the Marlins are the team that's like, this is very important for us. Red Sox, don't screw it up. Like, that's crazy. I'm making a point right now. Like, I'm not saying that this pandemic, like, I don't want Deadspin to run with this. Like, Chris Cody says,
I don't think Deadspin listens to this hour, right. So I think you're safe on that
I'm
front.
I'm just saying, like, I'm making a point, but it's ridiculous that the Marlins are, that this is an important series.
Tuesdays are my favorite day on this show. Sorry, Roy.
Terrible point. It's a terrible point.
No, I think it's a great point. Why is your, because my dad? Because my dad, Billy?
Yeah, your dad is my favorite guest co-host, even when we would have, like, the regular, we used to have, like, a rotation, right, where it was, I think Stan would do Wednesdays, and someone else did another day. I don't even remember.
Bomani did Thursdays before he became Bomani Jones.
Bomani did do Thursdays. Greg has consistently been, not that I don't like everyone else, my favorite. He's always there. He's steady Eddie, always going to be there for us when we need him.
Bats 270, hits 14 home runs. He's like Greg Colbert.
Okay. Wow. So I'm not an all-star, but I've stayed in the league a long time. Is that what you're saying?
He's consistent. His voice is always crappy.
It is today. I can promise you that.
Christ. Why is it crappy today?
I don't know. It's early in the morning for me. The first hour is always the toughest for me. takes the rasp a while to get out of my voice, but we're going to be there. Just tough with me.
What's going on? Like, are you okay? Like, people that are worried about your health out there, give an update. Like, is everything okay? Or is just you have a weird voice now and you're fine, everything else?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel great. Nothing is wrong other than, you know, the encroachment of age and a crazy voice. Other than that, I'm good. I've lost my ability to hit high notes, which is probably just as well. No, we're good. Don't worry about me. Worry about yourself, kid.
Greg, it's a very exciting time to be a South Florida sports fan. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I would very much agree. And I'm glad we're teeing up that subject because it truly is. I mean, look all around. Inter Miami's made a couple of big signings. They're on the upswing. I defer to Roy on the Panthers, but, you know, the general manager change can't hurt as much as I like Dale Talon personally. Dolphins are on the upswing. Marlins clearly are on the upswing. Heat are starting the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. It's just a big time down here. The Hurricanes, if we want to dip into the colleges, Hurricanes are 1-0 and have a big top 20 game this coming week. So, yeah, it's a fun time. It really is.
Carol Baskin was on Dancing with the Stars last night. I feel like I want to get wacky with this. I feel like, you know, I feel like the local hour, it's been a little sportsy recently, even though today's a big sports day. So I'm having a tug of war of where we want to do, what we want to do with this. Billy, what do you see this local hour being?
Well, I was going to say, I have an announcement. We have an invited guest next segment, who's one of our favorite callers, who's going to be joining us. I wanted to do calls again, but it seems like not everyone is on the same page with wanting to take calls. And I thought that maybe the post game would be a place where we could take calls and talk to some of our friends, but that's not really what that's turned into. So today, kind of the parents are out of town, so we can kind of do whatever we want. So we're going to talk to one of our favorite callers in the next segment. If he checks his Zoom on time, I don't know if he's in the waiting room yet or not, but I sent it to him. And obviously Greg Cody, my favorite co-host, is in. We already talked a little bit about sports. Who did Inter Miami sign, by the way? Because I saw that they did not sign Messi.
It's not that. I mean, it's names you've never really heard of. Greg, you're muted, so I'm just going to keep talking until you unmute yourself.
They made the guy.
Well, they signed MLS. They signed Blaise Matuidi. I always mess up on that last name. He's a French national team star, World Cup winner, as a matter of fact. A great midfielder. The only downside is he's 33, but still, got some life in his legs. And then they just signed the Juventus striker, Gonzalo Higuain, who immediately becomes the second biggest Gonzalo in South Florida behind Poppy Levitard. So those are two good signings. They really are. They're name signings in the international football.
Higuain, Greg, Higuain.
How do you pronounce it?
Higuain.
Higuain, okay.
Yes, Gonzalo, close. Yeah, Higuain.
I love
Higuain, okay.
Yeah, the H is silent.
Okay.
I love how you hit us with the analysis of Matuidi. He's 33, but he's got some legs left. Like, that's just like, it's yeah. Just that's just you flexing on us a little bit. Like, he's older, but he's going to be good.
Well, midfield is the position that runs the most, generally speaking. So
hopefully he has some legs left under him.
Yeah, hopefully he does. You're right. But you're right. That is a very generic soccer description. And apologies to Higuain for mispronouncing his last name.
Just like Deadspin, I don't think he's listening to this either. So I think you're good.
Okay. Maybe, though.
If I had to bet $100, I never would have guessed that I'd be asking Greg questions about Inter Miami to start the local hour today.
It's a weird, weird start. Weird start for you, Billy. I wouldn't have expected that, to be
honest.
Yeah,
you know.
I just have to say, Inter Miami started 0-5, worst start ever for an MLS expansion team. And since then, in their last six matches, they've won 2 and drawn 2. So apart from these international signings they just made, they are on the upswing. You know, they're finding their rhythm as a team. So it's been good to watch.
Sticking in sports, Billy, Roy, because we talked, Chris, Greg, and myself already. Did you watch any of the game last night that started at 10:30? Any of the Monday Night Football game?
I watched 0% of it because what time did it start at 10:30?
I was asleep by then. 10:20-ish.
No, my TV was locked up for a while watching Dancing with the Stars, and it's the first time that that's happened, but my wife wanted to see Chrishell from Selling Sunset on Dancing with the Stars, and of course needed to check out Carol Baskin, and they made her terrible. Go last. Yeah, not. Did you watch yesterday?
I watched the clip. I saw the clip of Carol Baskin, and she danced to Eye of the Tiger. She looked incredibly stiff, and it looked like the guy, the blonde dude who's like the judge, he made some sort of joke referencing her killing her husband or something.
I missed that. Wow. That's,
no, yeah. It was like subtle or something. I don't know. I saw some clip.
Roy?
Yeah, it didn't go well.
I didn't watch either game. I watched hockey.
Oh, that's right.
What happened?
Well, the Stars are going to the Stanley Cup final. They won in overtime against the Golden Knights. They quote-unquote got pissed off, and they won in overtime on a power play goal.
And Tampa's winning the other series, right?
That's what it's looking like, yeah. They played tonight against the Islanders, and that's an elimination game. They're up 3-1.
Can I say this, Roy, and you disagree with me if you feel it. That's a low-watt Stanley Cup Finals that's going to do very little in terms of TV ratings. Am I wrong?
Regardless of whoever was going to go into the cup final this year, it's going to be low rated just based off of circumstances, obviously. But yeah, Stars Lightning's not exactly going to bring out people in traditional hockey market, so it's going to be low.
What would have been the glamour Stanley Cup Finals? Islanders and somebody, or like what would have been ideal if you're a TV executive?
Based on the four, it would have been the Islanders and probably Vegas, probably. Because the Islanders haven't won since the 80s, obviously, and Vegas would have been there for the second time, and they would have tried for their first win. So probably Vegas the Islanders, but Stars, Lightning, I don't think that's going to really appeal to anybody.
I hear that.
Coming up next, we're joined by Hefe.
Yo, what up, bros?
What up, Hefe?
Good morning.
Good morning. How is everyone? Good to see you all. Wow.
Morning.
What's good, man? Long time no here?
Yeah. Well, now it's C because we can actually see each other on Zoom. This is like the one benefit of this whole mess, no?
It was all for this.
Yeah, damn. But yeah, no, everything's good. It's been a minute. How have you guys been?
Good, dude.
You know, bro.
Same as everybody, just trying to make it through these crazy times.
Dude, so I was just thinking, I feel like Zoom waiting rooms, they should have like a virtual version. You know that game you used to play at the doctor when you were a kid? It's like the little ball on that like wire like yes. track.
My daughter
I feel plays. Like, yeah, Zoom should like embed like a virtual version of that into the waiting room so you can like chill in it while you play. Or like some like old magazines. Like
or music, just some nice like, you know.
Yeah, that's like a great space that they're like not doing anything with.
I think that's a great idea, particularly on the magazines. You know, I want those old waiting room kind of magazines, you know, Good Housekeeping, Car and Driver. What was the one that appealed to the kids? It was a classic. You know what I'm saying?
Car and Driver.
You know, Highlights? It was called Highlights.
Highlights. Oh, Highlights. Yes. With the hidden pictures.
Exactly. Yeah.
Highlights. It's very Scholastic.
You know what's weird? So, like, there's always the in-flight magazine, right? What is that called? Like, God, what was that thing called?
In-flight magazine?
No.
Was it called?
It's like American something.
No, it has a name. I don't remember what the name is now. But there was never a magazine geared towards waiting room, like Waiting Room Magazine, which I feel like would kill because every waiting room everywhere has magazines, right? Is it too late to get in on the magazine trend?
Yeah, sadly.
Was it American Way? American Way.
Yes, that's the American Airlines one. But I think they have different ones for each, you know, because you can't have an American Airlines magazine on like a Delta flight.
Right. I think there's one called Spirit.
It's an airline.
Yeah.
Is that the name of an airline? I don't even know.
Yeah.
It's been so long since I've been in a plane.
I guarantee you Tony's never flown Spirit.
I've flown Spirit more than everybody here. I've flown Spirit more than everybody here. Yeah, guaranteed.
You've never been on Frontier.
No, I have been on Frontier.
Ooh. Wow.
Frontier is trash.
I've been on first class and I've been on Frontier and Spirit. So I've run the full gamut of the airline experience. And it's whatever. Gets you to point A to point B, right?
So Hefe, man, what's up? What's new with you? Do you have anything like you come strong with the show topic? So like I just know. I don't even have to ask. I know you have at least one in the chamber.
I got a couple, yeah. The Zoom one hit me while I was waiting in the waiting room, but the reason I wanted to call in was first of all just to say what's good because it's been a minute. But also, I had a topic that I wanted to run by you guys. I was I'm not going to get into the personal side of it, but just let me just go into the take. Basically, my take is that, like, the last hour of a vacation, like, especially a vacation that you had to drive to, it almost ruins, like, the entire experience, like, altogether, right? Because, like, think about it. Like, you've spent the entire weekend, like, hanging out, probably partying, like, drinking beers, drinking hard seltzers, whatever it is. That Sunday morning, you wake up, like, you want to die. Like, the only thing you want to do is, like, be in your bed. Like, everyone is, like, you know, getting ready to go home. Like, you're waiting for people to, like, load the car. Then you got to drive home, like, an extra 2 hours. And, like, in that moment, like, I feel like you're wondering, like, was this entire vacation worth it? Is that something you guys feel?
I could not agree more with this take. Like, it kind of has this, it's the same feeling as, like, the Sunday scaries, right? Of, like, your weekend's over and you got work the next day. It's that same vein of feeling, but it's worse with vacation. My daughter's talking.
What do you guys do on, like, trips? Like, this, obviously, we're in Miami, so, like, a common one is, like, to Orlando. But, like, let's say you go to, like, Naples or, like, Fort Myers or, like, just a couple hours away, maybe, like, a beach getaway or, like, a theme park getaway. What do you guys do on that Sunday? Are you the types that just pack up everything and head home? Like, that's all you do that day? Or do you try to sneak in extra things? Like, this is something my parents do that I don't get just because of, like, maybe when you get older, you change your mindset or whatever. I used to kind of just, like, let's just get home because I want to just kind of start getting ready for the next day. Then I started pushing it a little bit. Like, if we went to, like, a theme park, I'm like, let's just go, like, on one or two rides. And then it turned into, like, 3 o'clock. You're leaving, like, oh, my God, I'm getting home at 7. My parents have started this thing where, like, they're like, let's just explore a little town in Florida. Like, let's pull off and just drive around this little town and see what it's all about. And then they get home at like 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, are you guys insane? Like, you know how much prep, like, mentally I have to do for Mondays on Sundays? Like, I don't have time to just do these things. So they always come back and like, oh, we went to like this random, like, whatever'sville in the central Florida. And it's like, how did you find that? Two, how did you spend 6 hours there? And three, are you not like tired or stressed out about tomorrow? Because I don't have the capacity right now to explore little towns on like a getaway day. When it's getaway day, it's like, let's get something done. Like, I just went to the beach last weekend for the long weekend, right? We went to the beach on Monday. It was a Labor Day, right? Everybody else kind of left town and the beach was totally empty. We were there like 3 hours and I'm like, oh my God, we should have left like an hour ago. Like, we've been at the beach way too long today. Like, I need to drive back. I need to start doing things.
Yeah, for me, the party half of the weekend ends Saturday. It ends Saturday night or in the wee hours. And then Sunday morning, you know, there's a mournful country song called Sunday Morning Coming Down, which is like really depressing. And that's the way I feel on a Sunday morning. So when we're back from a long weekend, Sunday morning, we treat ourselves to a nice breakfast, and then we're balling the jack back home and generally like to be home in time for the 1 o'clock NFL games if possible.
Do you guys do the Cracker Barrel on Sunday breakfast on the way home?
I'm not a big Cracker Barrel fan. My wife loves it.
You got to find a local joint, Billy. It's a rookie move.
Nah, Cracker Barrel. You go out there, you sit on the the rocking chairs that no one's going to buy, but they're out there and they have a price tag on them, because who would buy a rocking chair that 800 people have been sitting on forever that have kind of like stains on them from like people's arms and stuff? You got to find a Cracker Barrel.
I completed that game, the Cracker Barrel game where you like jump the things. You guys know what I'm talking about.
It's the best game ever.
Golf tees?
Yeah, the golf tee game. I actually, the last time I was at Cracker Barrel, won that game legitimately for the first time in my life. It was one of the best moments ever. I was like, My wife was not as excited as I was.
That game, it taught me the word ignoramus. If you like read the little text on it, it's like, if you get three, you're an ignoramus. And I'm like, what's an ignoramus? And he's like, I don't know. It's like some country word for like idiot, I guess.
So a couple weekends ago, I had the weekend getaway with my family, my parents in law and my wife and all that. And we were there from Friday to Sunday, but I'm the opposite of Billy. I will press the gas as far as possible into the day and night until I'm like, you know what? Time to go home. Like, we left on Sunday probably at like 7:30, 8 o'clock at night.
So that's like a vacation. So you like use that. That's a vacation day for you. You wake up.
Oh, yeah.
You're still taking in your view. You're doing the beach. Like,
The beach for like 5 hours, 6 hours. We had some dinner, we cleaned up, and then I took off. Here's the kicker, right? And talking about like the last hour of going home is the worst part of the vacation. We get in the car, my wife and I, we pack the car, we're ready to go. It's 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Packing the car is another thing. I mean, that
sucks. The worst, especially when you're a big guy like me, you have to help with everything, right? Like the cooler that weighs 175 pounds, like I have to take it. Like, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. But it's 8 o'clock at night. Sun's already down. Everybody's sunburned. Everybody's a little bit tired. I'm hungover from like the hundreds of beers that I've had the last 2 days. And I turn the car on. And this is a real story. I turn the car on. The air doesn't turn on. And I'm like, okay. And I am like profusely sweating. I've already taken a shower. I've already done everything, but it's the beach. It's humid. It's hot. Like 45 minutes into my drive with the windows down, the air finally kicks on. But it was the most miserable 45 minutes I've ever been in. And I was really pissed. And it almost ruined the vacation, but then the air kicked on.
You guys think there used to be tailgating for like gladiator fights? Like, I know this seems like a question like out of like left field, but I'll tell you how I got here. Because you were talking about the really heavy coolers, right? And I was like, man, all coolers now should have wheels because it's a lot easier to move them. And then I started thinking back to like before there was a wheel, and what they would do for tailgating before there were wheels, because obviously there weren't coolers with wheels before they invented the wheel, right? But there probably wasn't tailgating for like, you know, when you're hunting down like saber-toothed tigers or whatever, right? But at the time of gladiators, I'm wondering if there was tailgating for gladiator fights.
I have to doubt it.
I don't know. They were probably drinking mead.
Yeah. You think there was portable like mead, like they would keep it cold, or would just be hot soil the whole time?
I feel like if there was some sort of competition and people were going to watch it, people would want to get together beforehand. So I wonder when the first tailgate was.
It's an amazing question.
I'm on it.
You know, I have also, this is unrelated to my tailgating question, but back to my Sunday getaway question. So a couple of years ago, I went to the Daytona 500. So that's on a, it was the holiday weekend. I think it was like President's Day or something, right? So that's on a Sunday. So Monday was getaway day. So me and my then fiance or girlfriend, were we engaged? I don't even know. Whatever. She's married to me now. So we were going back on a Sunday, and that's in Daytona, right? My parents and my sister decided, let's go to St. Augustine, which is in the opposite direction of Miami. So not only did they stay doing things, they went north to then have to drive back down south on the day when I'm just trying to get home and not create more complications for myself.
I think you need to take it easy, man.
Tailgating has its roots in college football. It is said that the first tailgate took place in 1869 between Rutgers and Princeton.
Greg, how was that game? So there was not.
Yeah, Greg, medieval... how was that?
How was that game, Greg?
I think it was a scoreless tie, wasn't it? If I remember correctly. Oddly enough, you don't see many of those. The Gladiator tailgating is just a meaty idea, and I'm mourning the fact that it never took off. I had nothing to contribute. I wish I did, because the idea of tailgating at events like a Gladiator fight, I wouldn't be surprised if it did happen in some form. I just can't picture what the form is. You know, how did they get, first of all, did they all walk to the Gladiator fight, or did they take rickshaws? Like, what was the mode of transportation?
Did they all back their rickshaws into a parking lot and play cornhole?
Were there rickshaws in ancient Rome?
Well, what did the ancient Romans do? There were those
horses.
But
I don't think
there was chariots.
I don't think there was a valet that would take your chariot like and go park it with the other chariots. I think that was just for like racing and like the elites, right?
I think only the wealthy had chariots, if I remember correctly. But I don't know how else people got there. What was below the chariot was what? Like, what was the motor transportation?
A horse?
Yeah, just
probably.
Sandals. Everybody had beautiful sandals, you know.
Roy, how do you handle getaway day on vacation?
I don't. We don't usually go anywhere.
All right.
There you go. Okay, I have a question.
Bellamy's.
I have a question for you that I may immediately regret. So,
hit
like,
me, bro.
Well, let me tell you why I'll regret it first, because it's a very dangerous game. I like to look at people's Zoom backgrounds, right? And I see that you have something like framed, like a newspaper or something framed behind you. And then you have something else that might be an award of some sort. And I'll tell you why I am wondering if I should ask you. We're already here. So I basically asked you what that stuff is. I was doing a Zoom once before, and I'm dumb. And I didn't at the time realize that a folded flag that's framed represents someone that died.
Billy, that was it was the UCF quarterback that we were interviewing, me and you.
I remember who it was. I was choosing not to say who it was. It was James Morgan, and it was his grandfather, and they had a flag because he served in the armed forces and he passed away. And I was really like, hey, what's that flag for? And he immediately made me feel like an idiot and horrible. So since then, I've kind of regretted. But I'm wondering what a framed newspaper you have up could be. Like, is this like when Greg Cody won or Chris Cody won, like their like Little League games, that they have the newspaper saved and you framed it?
I got you. Well, I framed the newspaper because it's like a symbol of a better time, if you were to ask Greg Cody. But here, so basically,
Billy, it looks like Billy did it again.
It seems like I may have.
No, chilling. So this was from when I was in college. I actually told you guys I was in a band, and this was an article that was written about my band in like the FSU newspaper. And there's like an amazing little tidbit at the end where it says the drummer's like, my most recent memory is probably when Jeff poured the beer on his head at the bar we were playing at. And then quote for me, and it says, there's a part in the song Give It Away by Red Hot Chili Peppers, we open, and there's a crazy ass guitar solo, and the next verse is, look at me swimming in my ability, and that part makes me want to rage, so I just decided I was going to pour something over my head, Hefe said. So like the fact that that's in print, I think, is like absolutely amazing. And then this other one over here is just it's an award. It's like a finalist we got at Cannes Lions, huge advertising award festival in France. So yeah, it wasn't a dangerous question, but yeah, I think the newspaper is also, like I said, it's like a subliminal shout out to Greg Cody for a better time when
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I love seeing a framed newspaper. I have one, in my garage that, is from the first day that a byline of mine appeared in the Miami Herald. And it was the day that Mark Spitz won his 7th gold medal. That's how long ago that was.
And you have that. And it's such an important thing of your history that you have it in your garage.
That's exactly right. But Billy, I did want to, speaking of backgrounds, I did want to compliment you. That's a beautiful thermostat.
Thank
in
you.
The background.
I'm glad you pointed that out. It has been a conversation piece, and I should probably address it now that we're kind of on television again, because I do have, as you can see, the thermostat behind me. Now, what I started to do when I would tape podcasts that we'd have video from is I would get a painting that me and my wife did at one of those like wine and painting things. I don't remember what it's called, right? Where you
painting
go.
Painting with a twist.
Yes, painting with a twist. So I got a thing that we do with painting with a twist, and it's the perfect size where I can get the painting and just put it there, and it looks like that's where the painting lives on the wall, where I'm just secretly covering my thermostat. And I'll get that for you in a second. But Greg, I wanted to ask you again about newspapers, because I'm wondering when the heyday of framing newspapers was, because I have a collection of newspapers that I've intended to get framed to put up in like an office or whatever that I just haven't done. And luckily I've kept them like in an air conditioned situation, because you have it in your garage. So I'm sure that the heat and humidity has totally ruined those newspapers. But I have like different, they're mostly sporting related, right? So like I have like the Henderson Alvarez no hitter, and I got like the Miami Herald and the Nuevo Herald. And I was like, I was there, so I want to frame this and I want to put this up, and I have like the tickets. And then in my head, I'm always like, you know what I want to do though, before I frame it and get, you know, put it up, I want to get them to sign like one of the tickets, right? And then I could put the ticket in, because if I make this whole frame thing, I can't take the tickets out after the fact and get them to sign it. So I'd rather get that done on the front end. I've never run into Henderson Alvarez. Actually, that's not true. I ran into Henderson Alvarez one time at a Miami Heat game of all places. And obviously, I wasn't walking around with his no-hitter tickets on me that night, so I couldn't get him to sign it. But since then, haven't really had the chance to get Henderson Alvarez to sign one of the no-hitter tickets. So that remains unframed. Edison Volquez, same thing, unframed. Then I have like world championship things, Heat things, all of them unframed. And I always tell myself, I'm going to get this framed one day and I'm going to put this in an office. And I'm realizing that I'm going to have more things framed than I have wall space. So I'm going to have to kind of decide what's most important to get framed and what I shouldn't get framed. And also, I think at a certain point, like I'm going to take a newspaper to like wherever you get things framed. I don't even know. Are framing stores still a thing?
I can go to Michael's.
I was thinking Michael's too, right? But I feel like we're getting to the point, and Greg, I don't want you to take this personally, where I'm going to take a newspaper to a Michael's and they're going to be like, what the hell is this? Like, what am I supposed to do with this thing?
they're probably already at that point. By the way, a quick fix, forge Henderson Alvarez's signature, because nobody on earth is going to know the difference. That's number one.
Wow.
You can get things framed, but it's very expensive. Like you'll spend probably $50-$70 getting something in a decent frame. But newspapers used to do back in the heyday, 1980s into early 90s, the heyday of newspapers. We used to frame, front pages and stuff like that. It was like a part of the service that they offered. I'm not sure if they still do or not.
Billy, I think I have that same thermostat.
Oh, yeah? I figured out how to, like, it's one of my proudest things, which is, like, really sad, but I figured out how to, like, take it out of the wall and reset it when the batteries are dead, and I'm like, man, I'm such a man. I know how to fix a thermostat that's broken. I know how to change the batteries. It's, like, the most pathetic thing to be proud of.
Dude, the art piece is cool, but I think even cooler is if you just called the thermostat art. Like, we live in a world, like, if you look at the banana at Art Basel,
banana,
like,
yeah,
everything is art, man. A thermostat can be art. You put a little plaque next to it that says, like, you know, like, Dyson thermostat, like, with the little, like, description. That's that.
Effie, how about this? It'd be even better. Basel. It would be even better. Just put the little placard, Cold World. That's it. Boom. There it is.
Exactly. That's some Banksy shit.
Thank you, bro.
All right. Sorry, Greg. My art's gone now.
It's not gone. That is art.
It's beautiful.
All right, FA, do you have any other talk? Because you came strong right there. That carried us through a whole segment. You did. You haven't lost a step. Some say you haven't had a call in a while. You know, you come out of the Zoom, it's more pressure than a phone call because we're staring at your face, and you brought it strong. You're always confident, man. That's what I like about you, Jefe. You come in and you're just like, what's good, boys? Let's do this.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I got one more thing to talk about. The only problem is I'm not sure if you guys are going to be able to relate to it, but I think the audience will. So, like, I think it might be part of the bit that, like, you guys aren't going to get this. Only because you guys are famous. It's like a normal person thing.
Okay.
I remember – listen, Jefe, don't start because I remember at Moss the last
– Oh, this guy was a king. This guy was a king.
You were the most popular person there by far.
Dude, that's actually, like, low-key a little bit why, like, I sort of stopped calling in as much because I feel like I'm just never going to, like, get back to that moment again and, like, everything else is just, like, downhill from there. Like, so
– I kind of like your way of thinking where you're like, you know what? I flew too close to the sun. Because I think all the time, like, man, when this show ends, no one's going to care about who I am whatsoever. Like, so instead of like taking advantage of like the minor like celebrity, like locally that there is where it's like, oh, let me go to this place and try to do this and try to do that. I'm like, let me not do any of the nice things that come with this because I don't want to get used to them so then I have it all taken away from me at one point in time. It's the most like tortured way to live life where you're like, you know, I have this great thing. Let me not enjoy it because I don't want to not have it one day and then be bothered by it down the road.
I was talking to my wife the other day about how like 100% 5 years from now, I'm going to be a bank teller and somebody's going to walk in and be like, didn't you used to be on the Dan Levitard show? And I'm be like, yeah, the good days. So yes, like so go ahead. I feel like we can relate to this more than you think.
Oh, wait. So we're on now. This is like the segment.
Oh, yeah. It's
very weird.
You guys just do your thing.
This segment started with Tony being like, Billy, I like your thermostat. Like that's where this segment started.
Okay. Beautiful. Yeah. All right. No, anyways, no, this isn't about being famous. Just something that I think only people with like less than 1,000 or 2,000 Instagram followers will be able to buy with. But anyway, so what I call this is like, how to turn an unsolicited DM into like a marketing opportunity, right? So for example, every now and then I will get a DM from like a random chat bot that's like a cam girl model. And it'll be like, hey, sexy, like click this link to like see my page, like for only $10 or whatever, right? But they don't just message you. They put you in a group chat with like 7 or 8 other people and typically no one responds. So what I decided was I'm going to use this as an opportunity to like plug different things. So what happens is like, I'll get a message from one of these girls and be like, hey, sexy, like come view my chat. And then I'll respond only if you listen to my SoundCloud. And like, I don't have a SoundCloud, but like SoundCloud feels like the right thing to promote there. So then I'll like go on SoundCloud and I'll find like the first link that I can find and I'll drop it in the chat. And then they'll like name the chat, like come see me sexy. And I'll change it to like, listen to my SoundCloud. And then like from there, other people who get added to the chat will like start joining in and like trolling the robot. And then something interesting happened where I got added to one of those chats and I did that whole thing. Then 2 days later, I got added to another chat and the guy who was in the previous chat with me happened to be in that same chat. So he started trolling the girl and he was like, oh, well, look at Jefe's OnlyFans. Look at Jefe's OnlyFans, which like, whatever, I don't have an OnlyFans. So then because of that, I messaged the guy and I was like, you know what, dude, I'm going to follow you now. Like, we're going to be boys and friends. And the reason we met is because we both decided to troll the cam girl who DM'd us. So the reason I said you guys wouldn't identify with it is because I don't know what it's like to be, you know, a big time personality on social media, but I would imagine that you guys don't look at all the DMs you get. And when I get a DM, it's like, oh shit, this is amazing. I got a DM. So that's how you turn an unsolicited DM into a marketing opportunity. You know, you can plug like, actually, next time I'm going to plug a Greg Cody article. I'm going to be like, okay, guys, like, I'll click your link. I'll go to your cam site. But first, you got to read this article from my man, Greg Cody.
Wait, hold on. Greg, would you prefer that he promotes an article or your podcast?
Wow. Am I being greedy to ask for both? I mean, come on.
Not at all. I got you.
You're already there.
A column link and a podcast. That's all I got.
I really love this strategy by you, by the way, which is just kind of take over these, like, you know, whatever they are, these group texts that you don't want to be a part of. I get a bunch of them all the time and it's for all kinds of different things. And I'm convinced that the way that it's happening to me is that my cousin gave my phone number to someone at some point in time when he was signing up for something, because it'll always be his first name or very close to his first name. And I'm like, it seems really obvious to me. And I even asked one time, like, did you get my phone number something sketchy one time? Like, or someone was bothering you about something, so you just put in my number? Because I get all these, like, no, absolutely not. I'm like, it's weird because it always says your first name. He's like, no. And then one time it came and it was almost his identical last name, except one letter was different. And I'm like, dude, come on. And he's like, no, that's not my name. Like, the letter's different. That's a different. And I'm like, dude, come on. Like, this is your exact name. So I get those all the time. The DMs that I get a lot of DMs and I feel really bad because I don't answer them all. And then people get mad at me for not answering them. But I'm really bad at answering even texts. Like, my family can tell you that I'm bad at answering texts. Chris can tell you. I'm just not good at getting back to people. But I like that you've kind of hijacked these things that are meant to kind of annoy you, and you're using it to annoy other people.
The thing I can relate to most on that is I've been getting a lot of political texts. Like, does anybody – who's persuaded by these? I guess that the main point of these texts is just to get you out to vote. They don't necessarily think that they're changing your mind. But I always get like, hey, I'm this representative. I worked under this person. Make sure to get out on voting day. And it's like, I appreciate the effort, but this is not who are you swaying with these texts?
I saw people the other day on the side of the road on Sunday or Saturday, like getting onto the expressway in front of Tropical Park. And they had, it was pouring out and they had all these like political signs or whatever. And I'm envious of their passion and what they're trying to do, like to get their candidate voted for. But at the same time, I'm wondering, like, well, how many people are going to go back to like September 14th, 2020 and be like, you know, I saw that person on the side of the road. I'm on the fence, but they were out there in a rainstorm. So you know what? I got to vote for them now.
Given how polarized this particular election is, presidential election, I want to meet the one undecided voter because –
yeah.
Like, I don't know any undecided voters.
That is true. This point.
I mean, no matter what side you're on, you're for that guy and hate the other guy, right? I mean, who's a moderate in this race in terms of voters? I don't know any.
Just Roy.
Hefe, I've had that situation happen where I have all these like cam girl chatbots like hit my DMs. I wonder how they get us, right? Like, because you've been afflicted with it and seems like none of the other guys have, but that happens to me all the time on Instagram. Like where did they get our selected handle from? You know what I mean? Like, did they just go through and be like, this guy, boom.
I think so. I don't know. It's weird because sometimes I even look at the other people that they hit and I'm like, what ties us all together? Right. You know, the last dude was from Miami. So I think it has to be some kind of like geographic thing. But even then, like, how does Instagram know where I live? I don't know. Instagram knows everything. I take that back.
Yeah. It's like some Russian hackers or something where they're just like trying to get into your information at any cost? You think the same hacker is always trying to send you stuff? That's what I think of too. Like, somebody sends me something on Twitter, but then somebody sends me something on Instagram, or I get a text, or I get this, or I get that. Maybe it's the same person trying to get my information.
I think it's all Mike Ryan fan account. Shout out.
I like the idea of, Hefe, you brought that this up in a way. I like the idea of totally random self-promotion. Like, I go to a nationalgeographic.com story on, ivory poaching in South Africa. And one of my comments is, check out the latest Greg Cody Show podcast. And I do the same thing. You know, I go to Pornhub and among all the vile comments on this
what
video,
is going on here?
It's like, check out the Greg Cody Show podcast.
That's the way to do it, Greg. It's
right.
You're hitting people where they least expect it.
That's the way to do it.
How do you know?
That's modern marketing.
This took a turn for Chris, huh?
How do you know what Pornhub is?
I'm just making it up. Is that a real thing?
Sounds legit.
Legitimately disturbed.
It's a $1 billion idea, actually, Greg.
You know what I discovered yesterday? So I was doing research and I just typed in enews.com because I meant to go to like the channel, like e-entertainment or e-online or whatever. And enews.com doesn't take you to eonline.com, which is the channel. Enews.com takes you to barnesandnoble.com. Like, opposite of what it is that I was looking for. So I wonder how many things there might be out there where you're trying to go to like one thing and it's like, I'm looking for like celebrity gossip and basically like trash, right? And it takes me to barnesandnoble.com and it's like, I don't want a book. I don't want a book right now. I want to find out what's going on with the Kardashians.
Yeah, Amazon has a bunch of those. Like, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I know that there's a bunch of, like, random work. Like, they'll just buy, like, a ton of domains so that, like, anytime you put in a typo, like, in anything, it just takes you to Amazon. So I think the move is to do that same thing, but put them to, like, Greg Cody articles. So, like, if you spell Facebook wrong by, like, two letters, like, you buy face with, like, three O's book, and then that'll take you to, like, the MiamiHerald.com. Or you buy, like, Gmail, but it's, like, G-M-A-L-E, and it takes you to the Greg Cody podcast. But anyways, Greg, if you want to hire me to be your non-traditional marketing consultant, I'm totally down. Let's
Greg,
do it.
You should buy pornhut.com.
I think it's a pizza website.
What's it cost to buy one of those domain names? I don't even know.
Depends how popular it is, but you can get a domain name for like $1.99 at the cheapest, like $1.99.
Wow.
There's people that sit on domain names and make thousands and tens of thousands of dollars. Like when you switch, when there was like a name change like that, that's why it was such a big deal for the Washington football team for that person. I think it was like a realtor or something to grab all the different domain names. Cause then all of a sudden he sits on them and is like, yeah, you can have it for $50,000 and then people pay it. Like if you go on and sure, Hefe, I'm sure you're in the industry. Like, you know what, like the domain situation is like, you can go to godaddy.com, type in a domain name, and then all of a sudden it'll tell you how much it's worth. So like yeah. You have, you know, whatever, something close to a big idea or something. And it could be a $2,000 domain name for people to buy. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's the same thing with Instagram accounts too.
Yeah.
It's like everyone wants at their name. Like I was listening to something, I don't remember what it was. And they had Drew Rosenhaus on, and he was talking about how his Instagram name is like at agent. And like they said, you know, he just got that from Instagram, but like Instagram had to take that from someone else. Like they didn't just like poop out this like domain name. So yeah, everyone wants the best names, you know?
Greg, I'm doing some research on your behalf, and by doing this and putting it in the podcast, this is going to drive up the prices. So I'm probably not actually doing you a favor, but I looked up gregcody.com and it's taking, but there's a broker who could get it to you for $70, or you could do greg-cody.com for $12, gregcody.me for $3.49. GregCody.shop right now is only $1.99, so that's great for the first year. GregGCody.com is $11.99.
These are all going to get bought up, by the way.
Right, Greg. But the move is to not buy Greg Cody. You need to buy like Mike Trout, but like spelled wrong. Because like people who want to find Greg Cody are going to find Greg Cody. You need to intercept people who are looking for something else. You know, like Dan Labatard with like LA instead of LE. That'll take you to GregCody.com. You know, like it's all about wow. the misdirect.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.